morning. I don't know if it's because you all don't want to be judgmental, or maybe the power of observations on a Sunday morning aren't usually that good. And I don't know how long this has been happening, but I discovered something this week. When I was preparing Friday to do Fair Meadows Nursing Home worship, I was putting my suit on, and it was a little later in the day, so it was lighter in the house. And I put the suit on that I had on last Sunday here, and the pants didn't match the jacket. You see, I have a number of dark suits, and they just kind of go in the rotation. And so I don't know when the pants, I have this dark blue pinstripe one and then a couple of black ones, and the pants, and nobody said anything to me last week. So either, I don't know what to do about that. So please, if I'm wearing the wrong pants, tell me. But in any case, I don't know whether to thank you for your grace or chastise you for making me walk around like a fool. I don't know. It is Lent, and we are on the road to Easter. We have a few more weeks before Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Holy Week. And our Lenten season sermons are a bit different this year. I'm already planning for next year's, and by God's grace, just given some ideas over the past 2 weeks. But what we have been looking at on the road to Easter and reflecting upon is who we are, who the church is, what is the church. 2 weeks ago, we took a look at Romans and the message of the church in having beautiful feet, how it is that by God's design and purpose and plan, it is the church that takes the gospel to the world. God can use extraordinary means to do that, but the normal process is through the church. Last week, we took a look at the idea that God's love is sacrificial, and that the church, in its love, should also be sacrificial. This morning, the plan was to take a look at five metaphors or word pictures of what the church is. And as I was preparing, I got through two of them and I said, there's no way I can do any more than two. So we're only going to take a look at two metaphors. Metaphors are word pictures. They're wonderful things. They speak to us in vision. And so we turned to the Word of God in various scriptures today, and one was read this morning by Elizabeth. Thank you, Beth, for scripture reading. But what we see about God in these word pictures is that God is not some kind of distant, foreign, disconnected deity. He comes very close and intimately is involved with the church. And he gives us word pictures to identify his intimacy with us and who we are. The first word picture basically tells us that we need to participate in bodybuilding. Anybody lift weights here? Go to the gym on a regular basis? Bodybuilding? You gonna show me your abs on Instagram someday? No, I don't want to see them. Enough with the Instagram. But we are a body. And it's significant. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be moving slowly through these through the New Testament scriptures, back and forth, doing a lot of flipping. Romans chapter 12. Not quite there yet in our Romans series, but we'll get there in about 8 more years. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. The church is a body. You all have a body, right? I mean, I look at you, you all have a body. I have a body, you have a body. You know what a body is. Scripture tells us that the church is a body. 1 Corinthians 10:17. Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. We are a body. Ephesians 4:12, which was read this morning, tells us that God has given some as apostles and prophets and pastor teachers, etc., etc., for the building up of the body. This is a big one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Long reading here. Please turn there and follow with me in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of helping, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I show you still a more excellent way. And then 1 Corinthians 13. The last passage on the body that we consider for today. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 22 through 33. Very familiar passage. We often hear it at a very particular and special occasion. But do not miss, beloved, what God is trying to communicate in this passage. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Because we are members of his body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Not a typical sermon for me. Usually I like to divide the scripture and take a certain section of it and just kind of pull it apart and give the implications and explain what God is saying. And it's really not hard, this thing of the body, because we all have them. We all understand kind of how they work. We know what eyes are for. We know what lips are for. We know what toes are for. We know what happens when you get up in the middle of the night and you slam your toe against the corner of a chair and how your whole body convulses. We get that. It's not really hard stuff. The church is one of those things. This is a word picture, beloved, but there's something significant going on in this word picture that directly impacts you and I as we relate to one another as the body of Christ. First of all, Scripture mentioned not to think more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. And the explanation given there was, in particular, that we're intimately connected to one another. And so the preacher is no more important than the person who's flushing the toilets right now. Literally. It's going on for the benefit of the body. And we should be thankful for the person who's got their arm down the pipes right now, because they're benefiting us so that we can use the restrooms. I'm just preaching the word. We should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Every piece of the body is important. And so, beloved, exercise your gift. God has given you something for you to participate in this body. You all know what it's like when something doesn't work right in your body. When something is malfunctioning. When you get your ear full of wax and you can't hear. When you've got a wisdom tooth that's got to come out. When you have tonsils that have to come out. And how it affects the body. We've all been given something to do in this body. No matter what it is. And for any one of us not to participate in the way God has gifted us is robbing the body and the rest of us of doing what it's supposed to do. Participate, exercise, participate in body building. But don't assign significance as more important than any other place. Because the body works together. I need my feet. My feet don't necessarily add to my vocation. And if I didn't have them, I can still do what I do. But I need my feet. The body of Christ needs you to function as it's supposed to. So my feet aren't less significant. Don't assign that kind of importance to stuff that we do or don't do as the body of Christ. Let me ask you, what do you use your shoulders for? You get a bag of solar salt at Hardware Hanks and you tote it on your shoulder down the stairs, right? You put it on your shoulder. It bears a burden, right? That's what your shoulder's for, right? I see a little girl over there resting on her daddy's shoulder. Is she putting her head on his shoulder? Shoulders are there for crying on, right? Shoulders are there to keep your shirts on. so they don't just slide off your body. I mean, shoulders. We need shoulders. You might think that's silly. I don't. God says we're a body. And it says we are deeply and intimately related one to another. Today, that connection applies very specifically to our annual business meeting. We are a body functioning as a local congregation. We make decisions of business based on the fact that we're a body called Hope Evangelical Free Church in Fertile, Minnesota, with a 501c3 status and a tax-exempt number and everything, all those kind of things. We function together that way. Oh, one more thing, shoulders do. When you're at the Polk County Fair and you can't see the guy shoot himself out of the rocket, I need a little kid to put up on my shoulders. I can't put my kids on my shoulders anymore. But I can make my kids bigger than they are. I can lift somebody up with my shoulders. I just saw something happen over there, reminded me of that. But beloved, the most critical thing and the most important thing about this body is that we have a head. And it's not me, and it's not our church chair, and it's not any human being that you can see. It's Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, to which we all are fit together. Never learn it, live it, love it. Christ is the head. Toby Mack has it right. Us, without him, will be building a kingdom that will fade away. Me, this body, without you, doesn't work. It will never go anywhere. It won't survive. Jesus Christ is our head, and he's the one that directs and leads and guides. Your body cannot live without your head. We need him. We surrender to his headship, his lordship, not just as Savior, but as our all in all. And then we read that last passage from Ephesians about husbands and wives. And we use that in counseling, and we use it in our wedding ceremonies, and it's very true. But it says that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. So we participate in body building, but the second metaphor is that we need to treasure our marriage. We are the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Please turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just a few pages back. Paul says to the Corinthians in this letter, he's had a lot of trouble with this church, kind of confronting them and challenging them and weeping over them and just a lot of stuff. I wish that you would bear with me a little foolishness, he says, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband so that to Christ I may present you as a pure virgin. You see, there's a reason, ladies, you wear white. Because you reflect the bride of Christ that is given to Christ as a pure virgin. The implications in our society of that fact today should rock our world, our lives. Young people, get the picture of the body of Christ as the bride of Christ, as presented to him in all its purity. Ephesians 5, 31 and 32, we read that. But turn with me to the last book of the Bible in Revelation. chapter 19 and then 21. These are things that we look forward to about being the bride of Christ. Chapter 19, verses 7, 8, and 9. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. And then another page over, chapter 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Not only are we a body with a head, but the church is a bride. Jesus, the Lamb, is the groom. He is the one who takes his bride. Now, young ladies, listen. I don't know if this will ever get through, if this will ever happen to me as a pastor, but I look forward to the day when we perform a wedding service where the person in the back of the room isn't her, but the groom. Because at the marriage supper of the Lamb, nobody's going to be looking at the bride. We're all going to be looking at the groom. That's a better picture. I don't expect that to happen ever. I know where I live. I know how we do weddings. But this is the marriage supper of the Lamb that the bride comes to. It's an amazing thing. We here at Hope are married to Jesus. He is our groom. And beloved, we need to fulfill our vows to love and to cherish, to honor and to obey. Next time you go to a wedding and you hear those vows being spoken, think of yourselves in relationship to Christ. Because as a follower of Christ, you are the body, you are, we are his bride. Fulfill your vows. And then watch your appetites. Are you getting hungry? And I don't mean for barbecues today and side salads and those wonderful things. Are you hungry for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Are you looking forward to eternity, to when Christ shows up and we are invited to sit down at his table and eat with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb? That's going to be something. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be the best party you've ever been to, that we've ever been to, because we are the bride of Christ. Come, and I will show you. Blessed is he who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I betrothed you to one husband that I might present to him, that I might present you to him as a pure virgin. Lent is the time given to the church traditionally for repentance, to get right before God, to turn from our sins. That's what the system has given us of Lent. The bride of Christ needs to repent of her sins, all kinds of them. As a person who is a member of the body and the bride of Christ, I'll leave that to you and the Holy Spirit. But I am going to take a moment before we conclude so that you might confess your sins to God without excuse. Privately, I'm not asking you to do it publicly. I'm not asking you to say anything out loud. Pride, greed, selfishness, sexual sin, doesn't matter what it is. not to make excuses. I had a conversation with someone this week where they did something wrong, and they had a reason why they did it wrong. God doesn't accept our reasons to let us off the hook for doing something wrong. We need to come to Him and say, I did something wrong, and I'm sorry. Doesn't matter what somebody else did to you. Doesn't matter what the circumstances were. It's never right to do wrong. Pure is the bride of Christ. So we come to Christ and we say, I was wrong. I should not have done this. I should not have thought this. This was a sin. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and take a moment to do that? Almighty God, we are the body of Christ. He is our head. Very often, our sins relate to that image because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We put ourselves in the place of the head. Our pride, our arrogance, our self-importance, our significance rises up in rebellion against our head. And we are not pure. Every day, we are sinners saved by grace, and we live in a fallen world, and we succumb to temptation. We thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us from our sins. In the name of our groom, we pray. Amen. There are other metaphors, and they're just as beautiful, and they're just as intimate and intricate. And they're important to look at. The temple. We're called the house of God. We're told to put on armor because we're the army of God. We're His family. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's the good shepherd. We are sheep, the sheep of His flock and of His pasture. Those are all word pictures to describe the body of Christ. Some are easier to grasp than others. As a body and as a bride, we think in categories that translate very easily for us as human beings. As a local church, we are on the road to Easter. And as a local church, we need to ask ourselves the corporate question, the together question, as well as the individual members of the body question. Is He our head? Does this congregation follow Jesus Christ as its head? Am I, as a believer in Christ and part of this congregation, following the head? Jesus is the groom. We are the bride. Are we fulfilling our vows to the groom? Are we pure? Are we celebrating who He is? Corporately and as individual members of that body. It's a beautiful thing to consider. Wonderful, easy metaphors. May God be glorified in His body and with His bride. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your word that doesn't leave us in the dark about who we are. And so we just need your help, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to be able to function as you have intended us to function. God, have mercy. Amen.